I want you to take your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 3 this afternoon. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, while you're turning there, I'll be taking the next several weeks, and I want to make sure that this is clarified, that I am not establishing who we are, but I'm going to be reminding us who we are. And over the next several Sunday afternoons. And so this afternoon will be more of a introduction to that. We have several, and I praise the Lord for this, several families that are coming into the church, and I'm thankful for it, and I believe it's wonderful, and maybe I should be doing this on a Sunday morning. But just to be reminding us from the Scriptures on who we are. And I'm thankful for it, and I want you there in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. But I also want to remind us, as we look back over the Scriptures, in Acts chapter number 11, if you remember that passage of Scripture, as they were laboring for the Lord, the end of that chapter, the Bible says that they were first called Christians at Antioch. And may I remind us that God's people have always been called differently from the world. There's always been distinctions. And I don't take the term Christian lightly, because it actually means little Christ. It means resembling Christ. And it ought to describe how we live. But there's also another title that we use today that describes what we believe. And I will say this, the name of our church is Granite State Baptist Church. And it is Granite State because that's where we live. And when God was burdening our hearts to be able to start the church, I said, we're in the capital city, and I want something that's going to identify us and connect us with our capital city and our state. And God put Granite State upon our hearts. And there was never a question in my mind that would have the Baptist name in it. And Baptist is not a denomination. We're going to get into a few things. And I just want to remind us who we are over the next several weeks. Okay. And we'll look at a few things. But then I like the word church. You say, why is that? Because it's the Bible term. And back the Jewish nation, they use the term synagogue. Some may use a branch. Some may use a fellowship. Some may say a congregation. Well, we got good biblical authority to be able to use the word church. And so I want to look at a few things. And it's been a few years since we've gone through some things. And so you may have some things written down. And you may know where we're going on this. But we just need the reminder God put on my heart over the past few months on who we are. And so that there's no misunderstanding. And some of the things that we hold to and we believe. Okay? And so you'll be hearing the term Baptist a lot over the next several weeks. Okay? And so there's a couple, and I'm going to give some introduction, and then you say your place there in 2 Timothy. But there's a couple adjectives that are used that we believe and understand from the Word of God that in your life they may have maybe no meaning whatsoever. In some lives they may have a negative connotation to it. In my life they have a very good positive understanding and description and connotation to it. And it's the terms independent and fundamental. And I know all the jokes that we may put the fun in fundamental, or we may put the mental in fundamental, okay? And so whichever side that you want to be part of that, but let me say this, those are adjectives to describe who we are as a congregation. And when we use the term independent, I want to say this, I use a little I that goes with it. It's an adjective to describe the condition of our church. We're independent. We're unaffiliated. We believe from the Scriptures that there ought not to be a hierarchy that is placed over the congregation that is meeting together. And when we say independent, unaffiliated, I know that there's good people in some other churches, especially up here in the Northeast. They may be under a conservative Baptist or a Northern Baptist, or years ago there was the American Baptist, and I guess for years there's even been a Southern Baptist. I didn't even know what they were while I was growing up. I'll be honest with you, I figured when I heard the term Southern Baptist, I said those that are south of the Mason-Dixon, and we're just Northern Baptist up here. I just thought my dad didn't make a big issue out of those things. He said, we're Bible believers. We're Baptist. And so then I had to find out, oh, there is differences out there. And listen, they're good people. Okay. And we happen to believe that the biblical model, as you look throughout the New Testament, that we're independent, we're unaffiliated. That means that it is pastor led with a vision and a direction given to the church, and the church decides as a whole where we're headed. We don't have some hierarchy in an office that is set up somewhere saying this is what your church is going to do 2,000 miles away. Okay? And so when we say we're independent, that's what we mean. But we honestly ought to be more dependent than what we are independent, because we're 100% dependent upon the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, with Christ being the head of the church. And so we 100% believe that. So you'll hear that term independent, and we can refer to examples throughout Scripture, even the Apostle Paul. And yes, I'm talking a little bit faster to be able to get to where I want to go this afternoon. But even the Apostle Paul, as much of a Christian as he was, as much of a church leader as he was, understood, we use the term autonomy, of the local church, which means this church takes care of this church. Okay? And so we looked at that. You see the example in Scripture. Paul said it when you get over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. Listen, there was an offering that was being taken up. The church at Corinth was taking up a collection for the church at Jerusalem. And even the Apostle Paul said, you get down around verse number 3, and he said, when I come, and he made this statement, he said, whomsoever ye shall approve with your letters, them will I send with the offering. So in other words, even the Apostle Paul understood, here's an offering from one church to be able to help out another church, and he submitted to the leadership of that church to be able to approve those out of that church to be able to take the offering. And he said, if so be that I can go with them, then well. And so, but he was even submitting to the authority of that church in the appointing of those to be able to take that offer. And we see examples throughout there that Paul was able to write. We have a couple of the books here, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, as he was encouraging the pastor here, Timothy, over the church at Ephesus, and encouraging him in the faith and allowing them to be able to do the work. We see the same thing over in the book of Titus. We call them the Pauline epistles. So we understand this term independent means nothing more than just unaffiliated, that we are a local congregation here, that we answer to Christ. Christ is the head of the church and not a hierarchy, okay, that has an office set up somewhere, okay? Second of all, we have that term fundamental. And I know you break that down. Can I say this? I am a fundamentalist. And I don't shy away from those terms. You say, what is that? That means we believe the fundamentals of the truth. That means we believe the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus. We believe the inerrancy of the Scripture. We believe the veracity of the miracles that we have recorded in the Scriptures. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in salvation by grace through faith. May I say this? We don't believe them because some church council got together a couple hundred years ago and said these are the fundamentals of the faith. We believe them because we hold to the Bible. And that's why we hold to the fundamentals of faith. And every group of believers around this world, listen, they have a group of fundamentalists that are in their ranks. You can even have fundamental Methodists. You can have fundamental Presbyterians. You've heard of fundamentalists in the Muslim faith, okay? Well, them are fundamentalists that are blowing up towers down in New York City. It's amazing how they start applying those terms to be able to show extremist, okay? We simply, when we say we're fundamental, we believe the fundamentals of the faith. It doesn't, I want you to hear it, and some of you will understand this and chuckle. I want you to hear it from the horse's mouth. Right here. On who we are and where we stand. Okay? And we're not changing any of that. We're unaffiliated. We are independent. We are fundamental. We believe the fundamentals of the truth. But we are also Baptist. Okay? And now here's why we use this term Baptist is at least for a long time. And listen, it is getting watered down today. But at least for a long time, the term Baptist at least gave a starting point on what the Bible truths were that that congregation held to. Okay? And so we're going to go over those. Listen, and I'll probably give it to you again, but there's an acrostic and you have it out there. I've gone over it. Some of you probably still have it in your Bible. But on some of the basics that we hold to, you say, well, I just don't like denominational names. And then that's a good thing because I don't view the term Baptist as a denominational name. I hold to it as a system of beliefs that we hold to. In fact, the people, and I'm not going to get in, I'm refraining myself from getting into a whole lot of church history as we go through this. But you know, the people that believe the same doctrines that we hold to, they weren't always called Baptist. And I understand that from history. I mean, sometimes you go back into the Bible times, it was simply the church at Jerusalem. It was the church at Antioch. It was the church at Ephesus. It was the church of that city. You start tracing it through. You had Waldensians. You had Moravians. You had the Donatists. You had Anabaptists. You had several groups throughout church history that believed the same thing we do. And I've said this before, that they were usually named after that leader that would stand up and preach Bible doctrine. And then they said, well, we're believing what he's preaching over there. And so really, the Donatists, they were named after Donatists. The Waldensian, the Moravian, they were named after people. Well, we have John the Baptist, okay? And the reason for that, listen, I understand. Someone said this one time, let me just break the ice right here. They said, you know, Jesus was a Baptist, don't you? He was baptized by John the Baptist. After all, it wasn't John the Lutheran, was it? It wasn't John the Episcopal. It was John the Baptist. But anyway, it's the system of doctrine that we hold to. And I want to lay out some of that doctrine, listen, that we still hold to today. And so if I had to lay it out and you want to keep your acrostic this way, and we could look throughout the scriptures, you're in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, and I'm going to lay this out that some people would say they're a Baptist with a capital B. And some would even say they're a Baptist with two B's in it. I mean, there's so much a Baptist. Listen, I don't live and die on the name Baptist. I'm a Christian first. Okay? And if there ever comes a point, we'll have an issue with the term Baptist because of what overall Baptists believe around this world. Okay? But I'm a Christian first. And here's what the B stands for right off the bat is that the Bible is our sole authority in all matters of faith and practice. The Bible, that begins with a B, capital B. The Bible is our final authority in all matters of faith and practice. I am a Baptist. And I don't apologize for that when I go around town. And I understand, listen, I've been in more cities than Concord. And I understand a Baptist reputation. And I understand a Baptist terminology. And I understand in some places they heard, hey, I'll say this, when we came to Concord and I started inviting people to church, and I won't tell you the whole story, but I walked in one yard and there's a retired man there and I invited him to come to church, gave him a door hanger, saved me a few steps. I said, we're just out inviting people to church. We're starting a church. He said, what type of church? I said, a Baptist church. He said, I won't be there. He said, I'm death on the Baptist and the Jehovah's Witness. He said, Jehovah's Witness because they're a cult and Baptist because, and he went into his spiel. He's never darkened the doors of this church. I understand the testimony. I walked out of there and I said, we're still starting a Baptist church. I understand there's been foolish things that have taken place, sinful things that have taken place that tarnish a name. But you know something? Christians have done things in the past. But it's still a Bible term. This term Baptist, the Bible is our final authority in all matters of faith and practice. Look what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. He says in verse number 14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." And can I just pause for a moment? I'm thankful that I've learned some things from some faithful men of God that have handed them down to me over the generations. My dad was a faithful man of God that all my life was a Baptist preacher. Didn't apologize for it. He was a Baptist preacher, but here's the thing. He was a Bible preacher. He preached the Word of God. He died faithful. To this day, I can't say that he corrupted or fell before he left. And I was able to say that he was faithful to the end. You know something? I've been a lot of places. I've talked to a lot of people, and they haven't had that same experience or that same blessing that I've been able to have that have had it all my life. Every pastor I've ever sat under, listen, they're still faithful right now to the cause of Christ. I'm thankful that I can say with the Apostle Paul that continue in the things that you've learned, because I know who I've learned them of. Okay? And that from a child, look at this in verse 15, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Can I remind us today that God has given us a book that we can hang our hats on for time and eternity? I'm thankful He's given us the Holy Scriptures. Now, here at Granite State Baptist Church, we believe and hold to the King James Bible. Paul didn't. Some of y'all get that later tonight, okay? And Timothy didn't. It happened to come about 1,600 years later, okay? They didn't. But let me say this. We have the Word of God. And I'm thankful. Listen, I know there's other denominations that are around this world. But you know where we start to divide with them? Is when we sit down and what they believe is contrary to the Word of God. That's where division comes. And you say, well, they're good people, they're friends. Yeah, I understand. I'm not saying they're not bad people. They just have wrong doctrine. And when we look at the Scriptures, it is not, listen, it is not the doctrine of Peter Chamberlain that establishes the direction that we go. It is not your opinion, and it is not my opinion that determines the direction that we go. But I will say it is the Word of God that is our final authority in all matters of faith and practice. That's part of being a Baptist. You know, I found out this when I start talking about some of the things we believe. There's a lot of people that are Baptists and just don't know it. They're Baptist and don't know it. You say, well, I just don't get hung up on all them terms. Well, we ought to. It ought to define who we believe and what we believe. I've been a Baptist all my life. It's not because I haven't had the opportunity to be something else, but nothing else ever stood up to the critique of the Word of God. It never has. You say, well, I think I'm just going to go out and try something. I think I'm going to go study. I enjoy it. And Brother Jackson sees this all the time. Brother Chamberlain does, walking in and out of the jail. They'll try every religion under the sun. Man, they come up and study things I've never heard it before. Brother Andrew, you've heard some of those things, haven't you? They come up with names that I'm like, what in the world is that? Honestly, Nate walked up to me last week and he said, did you know there's such and such a church here in Concord? I'm like, what is that even? I don't even know what it is. And they're telling me about it, that they ran into it downtown. I'm like, I ain't got a clue. You're like, you're a pastor, you're a doctor, you ought to know all of these things. I'm like, hey, come up with a new name for something every other week. But the question is not what it's named. Does it line up with the Word of God? The first thing I'm going to start off with is salvation. And you start asking someone what they believe about Jesus. And can I say this? That'll be the dividing line. You don't have to go too far into the conversation. Do you believe Jesus was the brother of Satan? Well, of course I wouldn't. Okay, that shoots down that religion downtown. Okay, do you believe that Jesus' mother was just as important as Jesus and she's co-intercessor? Well, absolutely not. Okay, that shoots down that religion. Do you believe that Jesus was just a good man and he didn't really raise from the dead? I mean, he just rose in spirit, not in body. All right, well, that gets rid of that religion. Just start asking people what they do with Jesus. Do you believe that Jesus is all sufficient for salvation? That his death, burial, and resurrection was enough to pay for salvation for your soul? Well, no, I think, well, that gets rid of that religion. Go ahead and add anything to it or take anything away. Jesus is the focal point. And what we learn about Jesus from the Bible is the deciding point. Now, I want to establish, and not, I said I wasn't going to use that term. If you're new and need it established, I'll establish it. But I also want to remind us here at Granite State Baptist Church, we're Baptist. That name's not coming off the sign. It identifies who we are. Listen, it tells a difference, at least it ought to, between this church here, go a mile that way that says Seventh Day, go a mile and a half that way that says Next Level. I don't know if it's up or down. I don't know which one. Okay? But I will say this, when I see the term Baptist, it starts pointing me to some doctrine of what they hold to. You say, well, we just don't do that. That brother that was here this morning told me they got a tour of a church somewhere here in New England. And I won't tell you where, but got a tour of the church. And the lady that was showing them around is an old majestic building. And said, this is just a place for connection. He's like, wonderful. He's like, so to connect with Jesus. Well, for connection. And didn't have any idea about even the name of Jesus. It was Unitarian Church. Okay? And so, listen. The same way you can drive down the road, and I can, listen, study your church history. I can identify the Lutheran Church. And because it has that name, I have a basis of their doctrine that they hold to. I can see the Presbyterian Church, and I have a basis of what they hold to and what they believe for doctrine. We're not baby baptizers. Okay? Gives a basis of the system of doctrine that they hold to. I can see the Congregational Church. They have the name out there. It gives a basis for what they believe. Okay? I don't know why there's such a push across our nation, and I pray not in your hearts or in my heart, to eliminate things that identify what we believe. Because don't we want to be in church with believers of like faith and like practice? That's who we are. It's at least a starting point. You say, well, I've been in a Baptist church and this happened and this happened and this happened. There's some I would walk in and say, take the name off the front. I've dropped in on something. You try being a missionary traveling for 15 years and you need to find a place because you're traveling, you're dropping in at church. And I'm thinking, yeah, they ought to take that name off right there. In fact, they ought to lock that door, sell the building, give it to us, and we'll do something for God with it. Right. I'm not mean about it across our community, but I don't apologize to people that we're a Baptist church in Concord. And it identifies the doctrine that we hold to. And number one, B, the Bible is our authority in all matters of faith and practice. Not opinion, not a church covenant somewhere. Those ought to come from the Scriptures. Okay? Not a confession of faith that's been written 400 years ago. That ought to come from the Scriptures. We go to the Word of God. Okay? It's a starting point, an identifying point for who we are. Is that clear? Try to make it as clear as possible. I'm not mean about it, but I am confident in what God has us believing here at Granite State Baptist Church. Okay? The Bible is our authority.